Welcome to the Butts and Seats podcast, episode number 126.
Recording the morning after the Royal Rumble.
Yes.
How are you feeling? Physically, mentally, emotionally, all of the things.
We'll see how it all goes.
Yeah. So for those of you that follow us on our socials, we actually did post our annual Royal Rumble drinking game. We have a lot of fun with it every year. We kind of upped it on the personal side. We added a whole other element to the game. Ended up having a little bit more to drink than we anticipated. But at the end of the night, it was a little rough for us. So we're on recovery mode today.
And it doesn't help that we originally planned to record this like later this week. But we had to shift that a little bit because we started watching Starrcade 94 for the Patreon. And we got three matches in and went, this just kind of is boring.
Do you remember when I had the whole crisis about ECW December to Dismember?
Yeah.
Yeah, that happened for Nick. That happened with Starrcade 94, where he was like, fuck, this is not going to be it. I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
So we had to pivot. So now we're talking about Nitro today.
And as of right now, I don't know what we're going to have over on the Patreon.
Yeah, we're going to figure it out, and you'll know as soon as we do.
Well, like Emily said, we're talking about Nitro. We're talking about the August 21st, 2000 WWE Monday Nitro, live from Wichita, Kansas.
Wichita! Why'd you say it like that?
I don't know.
It kind of sounds right, though. It feels right.
Ratings-wise, this show did a 2.6 to Raw's 6.2.
See, the thing, like, it always gets me, because for, like, current-day TV ratings, a 2.6 is pretty fucking good. But then you say the 6.2 that is going on against it when it's different kind of times for different kinds of ratings, and it doesn't feel so good.
Yeah, and again, it's not like there's like streaming or like, oh yeah, we don't have these numbers. Like, no.
No, they're not even like watching it later. No one's like putting this on their DVR to record later.
And Emily, unlike last week, because there was a pay-per-view before last week, we actually have a weather report where there's always thunder.
Oh no.
So on Thunder, Disco Inferno wanted above average Mike Sanders to join the Filthy Animals. But
what a name.
Yeah.
What a choice of name.
They don't want him, but then he still like comes with them out to the ring and like Disco keeps trying to insert him into the promo.
Oh.
And Sanders then turns on the Filthy Animals and joins the unnamed group at that point. But surprise, they're the Natural Born Thrillers.
So Mike Sanders turns on his group immediately. Like, he gets introduced and then turns.
Technically, he's been kind of around, but he turned on a group that rejected him. So, is it even turning on them?
Well, that's confusing.
Yeah. They didn't want him in there. Disco brought him out to the ring anyway. Then he helped the Natural Born Thrillers.
All right.
Yeah.
Disco should know a lot about a group not wanting him to be part of it.
I know you meant the Wolf Pack, but I think I just read that as his life.
Oh.
As Glenn Gilbert.
I wasn't saying it personally, but
David Flair tried to propose to Stacy, but was randomly cut off by the Misfits in Action, who beat him down.
During his proposal?
Yeah. It was, this is what you get for
impregnating a woman?
No, it was like, you were mean to Major Guns last week, so.
Oh, Jesus.
Like, this got, like, presented like a fucking heel turn. Like, this is a stone-cold beatdown.
What the fuck?
And then, Stacy takes the ring out of his pocket when he's, like, unconscious, is underwhelmed by it, but then just puts it on anyway.
Damn, yeah. That's cold.
So I guess they're engaged.
I mean, happily, maybe, question mark?
On the flip side of that, we have Daphne just keeps missing that Crowbar is in her.
Oh. I'm just happy that Crowbar is getting some TV time. Because we haven't seen him on Nitro in a few weeks at least.
Oh, I forgot to mention, during the Mike Sanders bit, the Filthy Animals came out to a new song.
Oh my god. Did Conan come out to what appears to be a new theme?
Yes.
Stop.
Tank Abbott is big dogging three count, and it's like, no, we have to go re-record your backing vocals because they sucked. So he's getting too big for his britches.
Oh no, Tank Abbott?
Notably, he still has the contract and big gold record, and he's like holding it like, can we get that back? He's like, no.
No. I know Tank Abbott's not long for this world, so there's at least that.
We did get a match of the year contender of Mean Gene Okerlund versus Mark Madden.
Oh my god. Wait, isn't this the second week in a row we've gotten this match?
They did a tag match last week.
Okay. So how did this match go?
Mark Madden went for a Vader bomb, but Pamela Pumpkins ran out to save Gene and low-blowed Mark Madden.
Yes!
Gene pinned Madden.
Good.
This was a terrible match, though.
Pamela's my girl.
We got a weird sit-down interview with Jarrett. They're doing more of these on Thunder of just like, all right, like, kill some time, sit-down interview at some other location.
Okay.
like this interview almost like wasn't in kayfabe.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Say more.
Like, it's just a very like regular sports talk kind of interview. Jarrett's not doing a character here. He's not. I'm the chosen one. It's just Jeffrey Jarrett.
Is that his actual shoot name? Is Jeff Jarrett?
I would assume so. Huh. Because he also talks about like he's worried about the direction and quality of the roster in WCW, and Tony Schiavone's like, oh, you had a match of the year candidate at New Blood Rising.
Did he?
And Jarrett's like, not really.
I don't think anything on that card was match of the year worthy.
He's like, oh, it wasn't bad, but like, that's not my best work.
God, no. At least he's self-aware.
There wasn't much to that interview, honestly. Vito actually gives some context for him and Reno. He calls it personal family business. So,
who killed whose father?
I got the vibe that they're like related somehow.
Oh, maybe. It doesn't look like they're related, though.
Kevin Nash did a segment with Booker T in which they, like, do a handshake, and he's like, hey, I'm not going to take you out tonight. Nash then takes him out.
Oh, cool.
Like, he kind of turns heel there as well.
Well.
So, which is doubled down on in this episode, but they don't really give that a lot of mention on this show.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you would not really know that just based on context.
But that's all for Thunder.
Sounds like you had a really fun time with Thunder this week.
Yeah. Oh, it's... it's going to start getting worse, I know. And we'll,
this isn't already bad?
Well, they're at least like taping it on a different day, so the crowd knows they're going to Thunder.
Yeah.
They're about to start taping it after Nitro.
Oh, so no one's going to still be there.
Yeah. I was reading reports of like what's to come, and it's like, yep, it's like, by the end of the main event, there was like 800 people in the building.
I mean, yeah. Would you still stay?
Probably not.
For a long, shitty show. And you're just going to watch the after show of the long, shitty show. That's just another long, shitty show.
Well, we'll get into that a little bit in the backstage notes I have. I actually have a handful here.
We're not going to get to the episode in a minute.
WCW Saturday Night is just gone.
Oh.
They just canceled it.
Quietly?
Yep. Wow. It had been on for 29 years.
Jeez.
Yep. And
that's
just,
crazy.
No graphic, no like notice or anything. Apparently, it was going to or had already become more of like a studio kind of show. I found out who was apparently being, like, primed to be the new host for it.
Hmm.
Spice.
Oh, that's a shame. That could have been her jumping off point.
Vince Russo did an interview, says he has 60 weeks left on his contract, and then he's going to leave wrestling forever.
Sure he is.
He's like, oh, we just need, like, a big, like, Mike Tyson kind of moment and angle and all that.
Sure. That sounds right.
He also
How are you going to get that?
Yeah. He also noted that Medeja is going to be the new Sable.
Oh,
yeah. Let's talk about that taping schedule I mentioned.
Yeah.
So the taping is going to start at 7 p.m.
Oof. Okay.
So the show's going to air on like a 1 hour delay.
Right. We've talked about this delay before, and I'm not totally understanding it.
Meaning the crew is going to be editing / filming the second hour while the first hour's on.
That's crazy.
And then they're going to tape Thunder when the second hour's airing.
That's insane.
Yeah. They're also going to have to like, you know, have all the pre-tape stuff ready to go.
Yeah.
And they're not going to break for commercials. They're just going to go straight through.
Okay.
So what could possibly go wrong with all that?
I mean, the thing is, like, these are live shows. They're not usually heavily edited. The graphics are usually done prior to the show. So there's a chance that this is fine.
Yeah, do you believe that, though?
In current day, I believe that. Like, if Raw were to do this, I feel like Raw could do this.
In Hulk Hogan and Vince Russo news... still, nobody knows if it's a work or a shoot at the
oh
time.
Oh, God, really?
Yeah. Because they're so used to, oh, we're going to work the boys. Like, everyone's like, I don't know if this is legit or not, but...
that's just kind of annoying.
We got official releases for, quote, every single Mexican on the roster besides the Filthy Animals.
Oh. What year is it?
Yeah, so it's just the Filthy Animals are the only like Hispanic wrestlers still with the company. I mean, I don't think anyone's really
probably
done
like
much.
Two left other than them anyway, but still saying that out loud is like icky.
I actually have a handful of other official releases. Alex Wright, who he comes back. So like Jim Duggan was on this list again, and I'm like, I know Jim Duggan comes back too.
What the fuck?
Kurt Hennig is actually officially gone now. He hadn't been doing anything for a while. Lenny Lane, officially gone again after that weird pop-up.
Yeah, that random pop-up. Was he with Kiwi?
No, he was in the crowd.
Oh, yes, he was in the crowd.
Christopher Daniels has been released.
This is one of those wrestlers, kind of like Scott Norton to me. He could be literally any person.
He hasn't even actually appeared on television. I forgot that I'm like, oh yeah, I guess he has to get released because he wrestles under a mask in WWF in the upcoming like weeks.
Okay. It's just like Christopher Daniels is one of those names that comes up as like wrestling fans talk about wrestlers. And everyone's like got an opinion on Christopher Daniels somehow. And they know him from something. I would not know Christopher Daniels in like a police lineup. I would not know this guy if he fell over me in the street. Like, I have no fucking clue who Christopher Daniels is. But every wrestling fan seems to have an opinion about him.
He's very good.
Couldn't tell you.
His WWF appearance is, it's such a niche moment in time of Edge and Christian weren't allowed to challenge for the tag titles anymore. So they went under mass and did the like Los Conquistadors gimmick. Then Mick Foley booked Los Conquistadors versus Edge and Christian. So they had to get two people.
They had to get two new guys.
Yeah.
And one of them is Christopher Daniels.
Yes.
Okay.
I think that's like his only match in WWF.
Okay.
Oh, I have two more releases. Elizabeth is officially gone.
I feel like she was gone like a year ago. Yeah. But sure. That makes sense. She's gone the same time as Kurt Hennig.
Well, she was with
Luger. The same storyline?
No. Not really.
Oh, okay.
And Mike Rotunda is the last one.
When did we see him?
We would have seen him as part of the Varsity Club.
So not.
Yeah. We would have seen him, I think, literally maybe twice. Because they did a weird angle with the Varsity Club, which, if you don't remember, was Rick Steiner, Mike Rotunda, and Kevin Sullivan. They teamed up with Jim Duggan to face the Revolution, and they turned on Jim Duggan in the match.
Cool.
And I think they might have wrestled the next night on Nitro. And then that was it. But that was also in the middle of Kevin Sullivan booking, so.
Fun.
Makes sense that he put him and his buds on. Oh, and someone who has not been released, but they're just going to ride out his contract and wait for it to expire, is Prince Iaukea.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
In other news, the USA Network is now looking at ECW going in their 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. time slot on Saturday nights.
That feels like a good time for ECW.
Apparently, Billy Kidman injured his larynx being hanged.
But yeah, no kidding. That tracks.
Russo wants to do an angle with Mark Madden shoot-fighting women.
Oh, sure.
It's meant to be like Andy Kaufman style, but this does not happen. Don't worry.
Good. Thank God.
Juventud Guerrera got offered a new lowball contract. He is going to be gone in October, but this is not the reason.
Interesting. I'm scared to know what the real reason is.
We'll get there when we get there. Leia Meow, who's also part of the Varsity Club, is still under contract, likely because she apparently reported sexual harassment.
Great.
And according to Tony Schiavone on his podcast in the last couple years, Jimmy Hart was sleeping with her.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Damn, okay, Jimmy.
The sexual harassment is believed to be either him or Terry Taylor. Nobody really knows, but those are the two names that kind of got thrown out that I found. But yeah, I think it's a Honky Tonk Man shoot interview talking about Jimmy Hart. Like, well, he chased a few whores now.
Oh, God. Interesting. Jimmy Hart's one of those things, one of those people that I'm like, you're asexual. You don't fuck. I don't know. And that's very mean of me to say, and I'm sorry about it.
I just
can't picture him in bed.
When I saw people talking about this, it was they don't call him the mouth of the South for nothing.
Okay. I stand corrected.
Booker T did a newspaper interview just burying Kevin Nash for like wanting to leave. And it's like, yeah, go ahead. Because if you go to WWF, like, you don't work their style. You're not taking a suplex on the fucking ramp. Like, you.
True.
Yeah.
I bet his mouth doesn't go south.
Which I was reminded that it's like, oh, yeah, you can't work that style. And then I remembered what happens when he goes and tries to work that style.
Hmm.
Part of the reason the NWO angle blows up in a bad way in WWE is Kevin Nash tears his quads in a random six-man tag.
Oh, yeah, I knew that.
Yeah, it's not the first time. But
no, great.
Yeah, it's like, oh, well,
what is Scott, it with wrestlers and tearing their quads?
Yeah, Scott Hall's gone, and Hogan's not in the NWO, and Kevin Nash has tore his quads, so, yeah, we're just done. And then our final note, in some potential good news for WCW, the following 2 weeks of Raw are going to be preempted for the U.S. Open.
Tennis, anyone?
Yes.
Is so, it that one?
No, I mean,
I just quote it every time tennis comes up.
No, because that's a Vince McMahon quote. That would have been like a 93 or 94 kind of Raw, but
no, there's no way it was that early.
I think it was.
No, there's no way, because he was an on-screen character. He wasn't a commentator. No, this was like Attitude Era was tennis anyone.
Okay. In my head, it's shit commentator voice Vince.
No, to me, it's gravelly.
But yeah, so the ratings should look better for the following two shows. And I know they actually are. I think they should go above a 3, but it's still not.
Fuck, you're right. It's 94. In my head, does he say it again as a joke later on? And like,
I don't think so.
I swear to God.
Well, Emily, I have no more backstage notes.
Let's get into this goddamn episode.
Yeah. We start with a recap of last week's Nitro, and then backstage, Vince Russo is talking to Scott.
He says just Scott a lot in this segment of him on the phone, to the point where it's like, does he want you to believe he's talking to Scott Hall?
I don't know.
I feel like, yeah. Just like have that little dangle of like, hey, maybe.
Apparently, tonight's the night.
Sure.
Jeff Jarrett comes in. He wants to fight Goldberg. Russo says everybody wants to fight him, so...
Yeah, he like, kind of tells Jarrett to fuck off, essentially. He's just like, you want to face him? So do I. So does everybody. Get out of here.
We then get opening pyro and our first match of the night. It's Elix Skipper with Lance Storm. By the way, he is the Cruiserweight Champion. I don't know if this is for the title or not.
I don't even think they know if it's for the title.
Yeah, he's facing Lieutenant Loco with General Hugh G. Rection.
Ugh.
When Skipper comes out, commentary just keeps trying to poke holes in the... He played in the CFL, and I'm like, guys, it's your lore. Why the fuck are you trying to ruin this?
Did he actually?
No.
Then why are we lying?
Because it was, why is he Canadian? Because he's not Canadian, and...
Shut up. Let it go.
We get our sign of the night that sent you into just a fugue state for a little bit.
I like to watch wrestling for the escapism, and it's continuously becoming less and less escapey. There's a sign in the audience that said, make Canada the 51st state.
The Misfits in Action come out with their super soakers as Lance Storm hops on commentary.
I love the super soakers. Like, that works for them, and it works for their gimmick.
Match starts. Commentary points out that, like, Skipper didn't win the title, so Storm notes, like, well, Lieutenant Loco was the last champion, so if he wins this, like, you have no right to complain.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, yeah, I guess so.
Fair enough.
They start fast-paced, and Loco hits a head scissors. Storm low blows Loco with a flag, but Loco kicks out, and Rection and Storm brawl. Elix Skipper swings a chair and misses. Lieutenant Loco then goes to use the chair, and is stopped by the ref, because, well, that would be cheating, wouldn't it?
Nick's about to kill somebody.
Why could fucking Elix Skipper do it? This is the shit I'm talking about, with the cheating, the you not keeping up the rules breaks the psychology of wrestling, because this makes no fucking sense.
So sorry.
Elix Skipper hits a Grey Cup ring shot for the win. And guess what? He did that behind the ref's back because it's cheating.
Nick is yelling at me.
Yeah.
He was losing his fucking mind when we were watching this. He's actually keeping it very subdued and I'm very proud of him. But there was a lot of ferocious typing and scoffing and heavy sighs.
Oh, there's plenty of stupid bullshit with rules later too.
Yes. I mean, this is a stupid episode. Like,
yeah.
Overall, again, not the worst episode that we've ever watched. But the bar is low. But not great.
This match was way too quick, and I hate the bullshit cheating logic, but, like, it was funny, because we went from watching Starrcade, which was boring as hell, to this, and I was like, okay, you know, I was literally saying to you, it's weird that I'm like, oh, yeah, this is a bad show, but this is, it's actually entertaining. And then they did the bullshit, oh, you can swing a chair, but you can't, and I'm like, never mind.
Just kidding.
Fuck you.
I mean, the match overall wasn't terrible.
It was just way too quick.
It was really, really quick, yeah.
I mean, yeah, I had like three notes for
it.
Like.
It was very quick. But again, the quick pace, I'm not mad at. At least they're not just hugging and walking around the ring.
We go backstage like 3 seconds after the win to see Goldberg is here. And Scott Steiner is ready for a trap.
This is one of those times that we're actually thankful for a commercial break. We changed our Peacock package recently, so now we have to sit through commercials. We were a little afraid of how much that was going to affect our watching experience, but it's kind of nice to get the break to like actually type and get your stuff together. Yeah. Like, this is one of those where like, thank God there's a break. I gotta type.
Yeah, and we have gotten rid of TNA Plus.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of the ads, we got a weird thing of we got the 2025 WWE Slim Jim ad, and we came back from that ad to get a Randy Savage 2000 Slim Jim ad.
Yeah, we love our Slim Jims in the WWE. There's a lot of Slim Jim advertisement.
We also got an ad read for the Nitro trading card game.
Yeah.
Which I think you found for like $10.
I did, yeah. I found it on a website called like Noble Knight Games. And I can get it for like $10. I have no idea how long it'll take to get here. But it says it's in mint condition. I'm kind of tempted.
All right, yeah, well, maybe we'll get it.
Add to cart.
We then get Vince Russo and security coming out to the ring. He starts by making some Wizard of Oz gay joke about the fans. I didn't really follow his logic here.
I was not following this either, actually. I thought he was making a joke about the fact that he used to play a character named Oz.
Well, he's not talking about Nash.
I really wasn't paying attention to this then.
He says he promised he wouldn't be back on TV, but every time he thinks he's out, they pull him back in. Motherfucker, you're writing the show. You are literally the one who controls this.
Yeah, this line also broke you a little bit because you're like, God, somebody just watched a movie.
Yeah, that'd be Godfather 3. I think we got another Godfather line later.
Yeah, I think he just watched the Godfather trilogy.
He's got a big problem named Goldberg, and Goldberg sneaks in the back of the ring and takes out the four security guards. He then kind of goes after Russo, and Russo then says if Goldberg hits him, he then breaches his contract. However, okay. Last week, he said, I can't fire you because Brad Siegel says you're too popular.
Sure.
So you can fire him. You just need him to breach his contract.
Right.
Because that means you couldn't have fired him last week if you wanted anyway.
There's just so many plot holes that they're not even bothering to acknowledge.
Yes, Goldberg apparently has a guaranteed, I guess, no-cut contract. And I'm like, wait, so...
So doesn't that, like, nullify a lot of storylines we've had in the past with him? Of, like, he can't get fired, so why are we doing this, like, blank or you're fired match?
Well, then Russo offers Goldberg his official release from WCW. And it's like, you'll be paid in full, and there will be no non-compete. So you can go wherever you want next Monday.
I would take that. If I was Goldberg, I would be like, no takesies backsies, right? Are you sure? Because, bye.
I would love to see, yeah, if he like went against the script and just signed it and went bye, because he wants to fucking leave.
Yeah.
The problem is he just isn't going to get paid remotely what he wants in WWE, which is also partially why he's not there during the invasion, because he's on like a $2 million or more per year deal, and that's just not the type of deal that WWE does.
Damn. That sucks for him. But that was just one of those moments
I'm only making $2 million per year. Oh.
Valid. That's fair. But it's just like, you have this opportunity dangled in front of you to jump off of the sinking ship.
Not really. I don't think they're that stupid to draw up actual release papers.
I do. I think they're that stupid. I think Vince Russo is absolutely that stupid.
I don't know why. I just remembered in TNA with Hogan and Bischoff, where they tear up the script, and it literally was the script.
It was the actual script, and they threw it into the audience. And these two like little boys were like, oh, we're going to read it. Here in the script, it says to rip up the script.
Goldberg rips up the release papers, and Russo talks about everybody who wants to fight Goldberg. Russo then mentioned Goldberg's girlfriend, Beth. So Goldberg starts choking Russo. Is that not grounds for firing?
Should be. How dare you talk about my girlfriend, Beth Berg.
We then see on the screen, Scott Steiner is kidnapping Beth. So
no, not again.
Goldberg then sprints out of the arena. We then get Booker T coming into the ring to confront Russo. And Booker says he needs Russo to deliver a message to his boy, Kevin Nash.
You're going to tell me what to do? You think you can tell me what to do? I made you. How dare you?
Yeah. So the message is that he's going to kick Nash's ass. Russo is upset about being told what to do, and he's like, I made Booker, and if I had it my way, you'd be at, like, the bottom, because you're not that good. And I'm like, then why did you make him? Then...
Also, let's talk about that Bash the Beach script.
Yeah.
He was just pushing Booker, of like, we don't need these old fucks, we have this new talent, we have Booker T in the back, like, named him, but you're not actually that good. What the fuck?
Well, Emily, see, he's having the fake fights as opposed to the real fights, so.
Sure.
Because remember, canonically, these are all fake fights because they're threatening real fights.
Nothing makes sense. Literally nothing makes sense.
And speaking of not making sense, Russo tells Booker to get the step in, so Booker kicks him and then hits a scissor kick. So I guess Booker's fired. No?
If we're going by these stupid contract rules, then yeah.
Yeah. The guy assaulted you, and you just said, he's not that good. Fire him.
Yeah, literally. Why would you keep him? He attacked you, and the talent's not worth it, according to you.
So, we have a story for throughout the night.
Yay.
No matches, but...
Honestly, Booker is kind of annoying in this whole episode.
Yeah?
His whole story this whole episode is sticking his nose in other people's business and making it his business. He, like, interferes in multiple matches moving on, and... Has no place. Has no reason to be there.
Yeah.
He's just like, hey, me too.
Back from commercial, we briefly see the Nitro girls. I'm like, oh yeah, they're still here.
Yeah, none that I recognize, though.
We see Goldberg hop on his hog to go find his girlfriend.
His hog.
Backstage, Vince Russo's upset with the newly branded Natural Born Thrillers. And you know they are, because they have a very bland t-shirt that says Natural Born Thrillers.
But very clearly depicts what they are. You're not going to be confused about what their group's name is.
Yeah, so he's like, all right, who wants a title shot? Chuck Palahniuk goes, yeah, I do. So if Kevin Nash is late, he gets a title shot.
I didn't understand understand how we got to this scene, though. It looked like the Natural Born Thrillers came and, like, saved Russo from the ring and, like, dragged him backstage.
Yeah, well, it seemed like they were supposed to have his back, but, like, didn't, because he was like, what the hell, guys? Like, where were you? But
okay, yeah, none of that was explained.
Yeah, but they're good with Russo, and
if Kevin Nash is late, which he's always fucking late.
Yeah.
If he's late, then he can have a match. That's a vote of confidence.
Also, that match is in the middle of the show, so it's not like you gave Nash all the time in the world.
True.
And technically, if he's not here by now, he's late.
He's late. He's the show already started, therefore late.
Our next match is... I got very concerned, because I'm like, oh, it's Kiwi and Paisley. Why is Paisley's name the same size as Kiwi's on the nameplate? Oh, fuck, this is a mixed tag. It's Kiwi and Paisley versus Major Guns and Corporal Cajun.
Why is it Paisley?
Yeah, Papaya. She's just gone.
What happened to Papaya?
I don't think it's even... nothing in my notes from fucking Thunder about
Where
that.
Where did Papaya go?
Back to stripping, I guess.
That's upsetting.
I don't
know.
She
was fine. She was just as useful as any other woman on this card. She was fine.
Well, you know what it probably was? They want to do shit like this, and she's not a trained wrestler. And, you know, Paisley's not great in the ring.
Then why did they hire her in the first place?
Because they originally hired BB from WWF and then changed it. I don't know, man.
Yeah, don't try to put logic into this.
But once it was a mixed tag, I'm like, okay, there's only a handful of... You know what? It wouldn't have made sense, but I was like, okay, most of the teams that they can face, it's going to be a bad pairing.
Yes.
The only one I think that might have been decent was if they had brought out Crowbar and Daphne.
Ugh.
But I'm like, it's going to be David and Stacy, or it's going to be fucking...
Well, it can't be Stacy because she's pregnant.
Yeah. Sure.
It wasn't Shane and Tori. Could have been Shane and Tori.
Thankfully, the men start this match and start up tempo, and Lash hits his shake, rattle, and roll. Paisley breaks up the pin. We get a graphic for a re-airing of Bull. I guess either like a movie or a show or something. But every time we get the graphic of this show, we get a loud like Nitro theme playing.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't look into what this kind of show this was either, because who cares? But the music was very weird. There was a couple of like weird moments with music in this episode.
Yeah. It's almost like, and they're not doing it yet, but it's almost like production's already shoddy and trying to add a new element is going to go badly.
We'll find out.
Lash hits a power slam and catapults Kiwi into Paisley. Major Guns goes for the, like, Umaga, like, corner hip attack and just, like, fully jumps over Paisley's head. Like, it's not even close.
No, yeah, she barely even does a glancing hit.
Guns slams Paisley and then Nash throws her onto Paisley for the win. Kiwi and Paisley then attack MIA post-match, so who's the real winner, brother?
I kind of hate that Kiwi and Corporal Cajun are good.
I'm sorry, who?
I stopped even trying to type Kiwi because the typos that kept coming up were so annoying. Like, I was like, fuck it, his name is Kiwi.
It's always been Kiwi.
I don't give a fuck.
It's always been Kiwi.
I wrote Kiwi for the first time and it autocorrected to like three different things before it would let me just say Kiwi. So I was like, screw it, his name is Kiwi. I don't care anymore. No, I hate that Kiwi and Corporal Cajun are good wrestlers. They put on a really good in-ring match. I hate that their gimmick sucks. They are at the mercy of a shitty gimmick. And because of that shitty gimmick, they're not going to get pushed any farther than they already have. Because they're in these stupid-ass gimmicks. But they're fucking good.
Yeah.
I hate this. This is the problem with WCW. This is it. Ugh.
Yeah, this match was fine. I'm not really sure what the point here was, though, because...
The point was to make Emily mad.
Like, I don't think these guys are going to start feuding. I think it was just...
No, this was just a one-off.
Yeah. Backstage, Russo talks to Scott and says the plan is working.
Which implies that everything that they did before was, like, all according to plan.
Yeah, I assume the Booker portion was not part of the plan.
Yeah, probably not.
Back from commercial, Tank Abbott is pissed at 3 Count for screwing up their performance.
He's wearing the shiniest of shirts.
Tank goes to leave, but then is just attacked by Vampiro, the Great Muta, and the Insane Clown Posse. They're back.
Yeah, they're, like, actually properly here.
Were they here a couple weeks ago and then...
Well, they weren't, like, actively part of something when last time we saw them, but they were, like, in the ring. They were part of the team here.
So they also take out 3 Count. Vampiro calls them the Dark Carnival. And in the greatest line of a promo I've ever heard, he gives a shout out to, like, his bud Evil Dan, who would be here, but he can't because, well, he's dead. Like, what?
What the fuck?
You know what? That reminds me. Months ago. Jeez, not even over a fucking year ago. Scott Steiner just did a random shoot promo on Ric Flair. And he's like, why don't we hire the original Nature Boy? Well, we can't because he's dead. God rest his soul.
Oh my God.
I'm like, what the fuck?
Are you guys just like forgetting that the people you're talking about are dead?
But JCW is now taking over WCW. The J stands for Juggalo.
I'll take it. You know what? It's probably better than whatever shit we've got.
Yeah, and Vampiro is apparently the JCW champion.
We know this because ICP takes over commentary and they tell us about their champion, Vampiro.
I was going to say, we know this because he comes out with, it's just a fucking WWF Winged Eagle title with a red strap.
Well,
it is
literally
not even remotely changed.
I love it. But ICP.
It's so cardy. It's the exact amount of cardy you think it is.
It's perfect. ICP on commentary is absolutely perfect. It's very akin to when Crowbar was on commentary a while ago, when we were obsessing over that. This is very much that same style.
Vampiro then cuts a promo hyping up the Juggalos and says Steve Borden's an actor playing Sting.
Steve Borden, who plays the character of Sting. Like, shut up! You think you're so important.
Tank then gets back in the ring, shit-talks Vampiro, and challenges him for the JCW title. I did it right. I'm like, can anyone here cut a good promo? And I'm like, yeah, we can. ICP are the best talkers of anybody in this whole segment.
They're the best.
So we have that match later.
I'm so excited.
And we go from that promo to another promo. The Natural Born Thrillers come out to the ring, now with Mike Sanders.
Above average, Mike Sanders.
Sanders he insults the crowd, says for the last 2 years, you've seen the top guys draw above average contracts with below average ratings. Sanders points out how they're all physically impressive, and he's definitely doing some rounding up, because apparently everyone in this group is like 6'5".
Yeah, the shortest person here is 6'2", and they're all like 6'6", 6'7". No, they're not.
Well, he also says that O'Hare and Stasiak are both 6'5". I'm looking at them. They're not the same height.
No, there's definitely like a 2 or 3 inch difference between the two of them.
Yeah, O'Hare is noticeably taller.
Yeah.
Sanders says they want more opportunity and says they'll impress children, men, and women. Like,
sure.
He's a fine promo. He's nothing special, but like, he's probably the best promo of the group.
Yeah, which, again, the bar is so fucking low.
The Filthy Animals and Conan come out to what I'm pretty sure is a new theme.
Hell yeah.
The same one from Thunder, I think. But
hell yeah, but you kind of just chuckled and looked at me and was like, is this a new theme? It's like, oh my God.
Well, the thing is, I always knew it was the same theme because we always got the, that's the way we like it. And I'm like, okay, same theme.
That's the way we like it.
Conan just randomly shits on Tank Abbott's promos and says the Natural Born Thrillers never paid their dues. They don't got it like that.
We got it like that.
This brings into a match of the Natural Born Thrillers minus Sean Stasiak. He's on commentary because he is potentially hurt, but he mostly fine.
He's here.
Yes, they are facing the team of the Disco Inferno, Rey Mysterio, and Juventud Guerrera. Yeah, we got Conan and Stasiak on commentary. They are awful.
Oh my God. 5 people on commentary is too many people on commentary. We need 2 people on commentary, and that's plenty. Maybe 3 if you have like a guest. 5 is too many.
O'Hare catches Hoovy for an inverted Falcon Arrow. Hoovy hits a wheelbarrow bulldog on Jindrak, and Rey hits a springboard leg drop. Scott Hudson asks Conan if the tag titles are at stake. After a long pause, Conan says, yeah, sure. What? Jindrak almost botches a swinging neckbreaker from Disco. I'm like, that's easy to take, my man.
No, not for them.
Tony then receives word that this is, in fact, not a title match. One, it's like a 4-on-3 handicap match.
So why does Conan want this to be a title match?
Yeah, Conan's pissed this isn't a title match. I'm like, did you forget you're the champions?
Right. Why do you want to have the potential to lose it?
Sean O'Hare slips on the landing of his cool front flip and then hits a jawbreaker springboard clothesline combo with Jindrak. Disco hits a Russian leg sweep and Hoovy hits a springboard wheel kick. The Filthy Animals cheat for some reason for Hoovy to hit a top rope Frankensteiner. Don't really need to cheat. Just do whatever
just
you want.
Happening, it's fine.
Rey gets crotched and then popped up into a power slam by O'Hare and a sit-out powerbomb. Rey uses quickness to get a hot tag to Hoovy, who takes out Mike Sanders. Hoovy and Disco hit poetry in motion and then a Bronco Buster from Rey. He hits one on O'Hare and then Tigress comes in, hits a Bronco Buster on Mark Jindrak.
Sure.
Which they describe as a face full of stuff.
And he says that like six times.
Yes.
A face full of stuff. A face full of stuff. Why are we repeating it? We got it the first time, guys.
Everything gets a bit wild with everyone taking somebody out, and Sanders wins with a Randy Orton-style backbreaker. I did not realize someone had done that before, but post-match, O'Hare barely hits a Shauntan bomb on Tigress. He took care of her here.
He definitely did.
She's very tiny.
But we were also talking about how green Jindrak and O'Hare are.
Yeah.
This feels like a very skilled maneuver to do for someone who's so green.
Yes. Like I said, Sean O'Hare is good.
Yeah, well.
Especially because they put her in like the center of the fucking ring. Yeah. So he had to like fully get across.
Yes. He had to make sure that he didn't even touch her.
In-ring action of this was a well-executed mess. Is the best way I can describe it.
Yes, correct.
Commentary was just distracting throughout.
They really did ruin this whole thing. And they didn't even say anything funny or worth noting. They were all just talking over each other. I remember a while ago talking about how my biggest complaint about Hulk Hogan, Randy Savage, and Ric Flair is how none of them are willing to not have the last word. They all have to have the last word. That felt like what was happening here. Everyone was just talking over each other and nobody like was listening to each other, so they're all saying random stuff. Sean Stasiak started talking about the fact that he has like a pet monkey he has to get home to, and then Conan said, he's like, oh, isn't that a gorilla? And then Sean Stasiak's like, you don't know anything about monkeys. I don't know. Nothing was happening on commentary that made any sense.
That all did happen. At least not here.
Like, that happened. But they all just love... I say this so often, and it's so tired coming out of my mouth now. They all love hearing the sound of their own voice. And it's disgusting.
So Yvonne, we see Goldberg arriving at the hotel. Remember this. We really see him walk in the front door.
Yes.
We then get Pamela Pumpkins with Chuck Palumbo. Palumbo says she's looking at the future of the business and just nervously rushes through his promo.
Yeah, he is not a talker.
But that brings us into, like, halfway through the show. It is for the WWE title. It is Booker T versus Chuck Palumbo, and special guest referee is Vince Russo.
Shocker.
He's wearing a ref shirt with a seemingly knockoff Yankees logo on the shirt.
Yeah. You said it was legally distinct.
Yes.
Isn't this one of your pet peeves where like a match for the world heavyweight title is in the middle of the card?
Yeah. I'm more annoyed with it when there's a reasonable chance the title might change hands.
Valid.
Actually, we'll get to that though.
I'm waiting for it. I know that Booker doesn't have it forever.
Booker dominates early with a back spin kick and a back elbow. Booker overcomes a counter, hits a suplex, and then hits a spine buster, but Vince Russo won't count.
What? Who could have seen this coming?
Like, when this happens, just leave the match.
Right.
Like, you are the champion. You can't lose title by count out, except when you'd probably just go, oh, if you lose, I'm going to strip you. But, like,
yeah,
have that be the thing. Like, don't put up with the bullshit.
Yeah, I agree.
I hate to advocate for taking your ball and going home, but this is probably a case for it.
Yeah. I think it's just that, like, Booker is such a face that he won't give up.
Yes. We'll also get that later, too.
Yeah.
Palumbo attacks Booker from behind and gets a quick count attempt. Palumbo hits a suplex. Then Booker vaults over to roll up for no count again. Palumbo hits a power slam. Booker kicks out of the quick count. Russo slaps Booker while in a rest hold, and Booker powers out. Hits a flying forearm and a back suplex. Booker then hits a flapjack and a spin-a-rooney. Follows that up with a Harlem sidekick, and Vince Russo ushers out the Natural Born Thrillers. They come out. Reno hits a crossroads on Booker. We get Big Vito coming out to make the save.
You're missing. There was a line on commentary when Natural Born Thrillers came out, and they literally just interfered. They just inserted themselves in the match. On commentary, I can't remember which of the three says it, says, this is a no DQ match, I think.
Mark Madden. He's doing heel shenanigans to make it fine that five people are coming in. But it's heel justification.
They weren't even like hiding from the referee though. This definitely was a disqualification.
Russo's already a screwy ref, so I'm not claiming DQ here because
this is no DQ. Sure.
Yeah, Vito makes the save.
Fuck yeah, Vito.
Kevin Nash then comes out with a chair and hits Booker. Oh man, if he had gotten to the show 3 minutes earlier, he would have had this match apparently.
Yeah. He had enough time to... He was late to the match, but he still had enough time to go into the back, get into his gear, lace up his boots, whatever, find a chair, assess what's happening on the match, and then be like, nah, I need to interfere.
Well, to be fair, previous Nitro lore, remember we saw him arriving at the building and his gear was already in there, so...
Oh, that's true. He just has gear in every arena across the U.S.
They bring Kevin Nash's gear and all their trash.
Yes, correct, of course.
Nash hits Booker with a chair. Vito is accidentally distracting Russo because Russo then, like, goes over and sees, like, Chuck Palumbo has Booker pinned for, like, a good while. And then he goes over, quick count, and your new WCW champion, Chuck Palumbo.
This actually got me for a second.
We then get the cat coming out, and he says Russo and him have the same stroke. Neither one can overpower the other, but the match won't end like that. So
you are overpowering him.
Yeah.
So you said the correct words, but you're still being like, doesn't matter, I still win.
Yeah, he's what? Like, Eric Bischoff made me commissioner, so we have the same stroke. You're just a writer. So it's different stroke then.
It's definitely different stroke. Yeah, this didn't make any sense, but whatever. Booker T didn't lose the title, at least not yet.
The cat then sends the Natural Born Thrillers to the back and says that, yep, Booker's still the champion. Good guy Booker wants to continue the match. The cat agrees. The bell rings. The cat's like, I'm not fucking done yet. He sends Russo to commentary. Ernest the Cat Miller is now the ref. Match restarts. Booker hits a scissor kick and a spinaroonie. Harlem sidekick. Bookend. Pin. Russo gets up like he's going to interfere in the match and then just watches this happen.
Yep.
So, still your WCW champion, Booker T.
For now.
Yes. The only reason I knew that something was going to happen here because I'm like, I know Chuck Palumbo is not a world champion.
I don't know at this point. I feel like everybody gets a chance.
Admittedly, yeah, the bait and switch did work.
Yeah. It did. It got me. Like I said, for a second, I was like, really? We're giving it to Chuck Palumbo? Okay. He'll have it for a day.
What have you done, Chuck Palumbo?
Well, that puts some, if he had won this, for sure, he could have gone back to Stephanie and be like, actually, I was WCW heavyweight champion. Bitch.
But overall, as a match, like, I can't decide if this made Booker look good or bad.
I can't tell either. I'm just, they're out of things to do with Booker. And clearly, Booker can feel it.
Yeah. And Kevin Nash just, like, disappears. Like, he doesn't get sent to the back by the cat. He's just gone.
He just does one chair hit. He's like, yeah, that's enough for me. Goodbye.
Let's move on. We cut to Goldberg running up some stairs and to his room.
Remember, like, 10 minutes ago when we said he pulled up to the hotel?
Yes. Before that whole match.
And I had gotten it twisted in my head, too, where I'm like, oh, maybe he needs to go to the front desk. Maybe he needs to get a pass or something to be, like, in the hotel. No, it's his fucking room.
Well, it's his fucking room, and
he has the key.
He doesn't need the key because he just knocks down the door.
Oh, my God.
Just, like, throws his shoulder into it.
You have a key.
But Swerve, there's no one in the room, and there's a note on the mirror saying they're at the building, and Goldberg throws the cuck chair at the mirror.
Not the cuck chair. No, the note also says that Bethberg is safe for now.
For now.
For now.
So all that, just to go in a big circle. I don't get why, but sure.
Because villains love to waste heroes' time.
Let's go to our next match, and it's for the JCW, I guess, World Championship? I don't know.
Sure.
It's Vampiro with the Insane Clown Posse versus Tank Abbott, and the ICP immediately join commentary. And I guess I should say join. They take over commentary.
Yeah, I got a little excited in their last segment, so I've already jumped the gun on this. But yeah, the ICP do take over commentary for the match. Yeah,
we cut to them, and we just see Tony Schiavone looking fucking sour over on the side, just like...
Oh, yeah, they're just like looming over their shoulders. But ICP, they put the regular commentary team to shame. These guys are so good.
Tank slams Vampiro sloppily, and they don't really clean it up from there. Tank kills the ref on a punch, so the ICP interfere and attack Tank.
Do you want to hear all the names that ICP called Tank Abbott?
Go ahead.
They never called him Tank Abbott while they were on the mic. I only wrote down 4 of them, but they were like 17. There was Hank Sandwich, Pink Sandwedge, Eddie Rabbit, and Frank Rabid. And they just like off the tongue, like, oh, yeah, that guy? Yeah. Ah, they were so good. So quick, so witty.
Yeah, they were on this long enough was kind of the problem.
No, they should have been the whole match.
Tank takes out the ICP and the commentary team goes back over to the desk.
Yeah, even Tony's like, well, I guess we're back. I'm like, don't be. How about you don't?
Great Muta then comes out and miss Tank. ICP and Muta stomp Tank and that's it? Okay.
Yeah, they just play the music and they just walk off.
3 Count comes out to help Tank, but he doesn't want their help. But, okay, but like, Tank, yeah, what happened help? To the match of this?
Yeah, there was the match just like, dissolved.
Like, the ref got bumped, and they're like, oh, yep, it's just over.
Yeah. This was a very strange match. And I guess Tank Abbott and 3 Count are splitting up. There's dissension, I guess.
I think next week is the last week of Tank Abbott.
Oh, fingers crossed. You said that a couple weeks ago, and I think your timeline was wrong.
This is Tank's last match, though.
Okay.
Yeah, I know him and the Demon are in for their final appearances next week.
Yeah, I know in the past you've been like, we have like 1 week left of them. Whatever. Timelines are stupid.
Yeah. I've stopped going by when their last match is because they keep having stupid bullshit after that.
Right.
Backstage, we see Scott Steiner dragging Beth to the arena. In Russo's office, Russo and Big Vito argue. Russo claims he's the reason Vito has a job.
Yeah,
and
apparently
then,
they're friends. I think
they're going for New York.
They're friends in the Bronx.
Emily learned all about New York City and the boroughs the other week.
Why don't we just call them neighborhoods? Why don't we call them boroughs?
Because they're big.
Big neighborhood.
Because there's neighborhoods within the borough. Like, think about In the Heights.
Yeah, it's all in Washington Heights.
Yeah, that's a neighborhood in one of the boroughs.
Oh, God, that's so fun. This is the only place in the country that uses the word borough. Like, you're just being self-important. Stop.
You realize where I grew up, I lived in the township and there was a borough as well.
Yes, it's stupid. New Jersey is the only state to use townships. That's fucking stupid. Now, you're not important enough.
Now, in the Nation of Domination, is it townships, is it boroughs?
No one in the Nation of Domination asks the question, what exit do you live off of? No.
They ask, can you smell what the Rock's cooking?
I'm gonna kill you. I hate it here. I hate this country. Nothing makes sense, state to state.
Yeah, admittedly, it says he gave Vito a job. I don't know if that means he's also responsible for getting Johnny the Bull a job. And Emily, Johnny the Bull goes on to wrestle as a wrestler named Relic in TNA.
Okay.
And I don't know if you're aware of this, but Relic is killer spelled backwards.
No way! That's crazy! You haven't done one of those in a while.
He's been off the show.
That's true.
Let's move on to I guess it's technically just a one-on-one match, but it's a hardcore title match. Chronic come out. The nameplate just says Chronic, but it's only Brian Clark in this match. He's facing Norman Smiley. Brian Adams joins commentary, and I'm like, oh yeah, you're going to be great at this.
Yay. We don't want this. We don't want this one.
Norman brings the can of weapons out with him and hits kendo stick shots. Clark ducks a stick shot and smashes Norman with a stick. Clark stomps Norman in the corner and then kicks a trash can into Norman. Norman goes over and slaps Brian Adams on commentary. So in the ring, Adams gets in, hits a full Nelson slam on Norman.
Why did he even slap him? Why did he go over there and do that?
He's trying to lose the title, so I guess it's
why
like, here, come.
Does he just not want to do these matches anymore?
Yeah, that's his whole thing right now.
I wasn't following, honestly.
Clark then hits a meltdown, and Adams signals for high times. Adams gets a table at ringside, slides it into Clark. The Harris boys then interfere, H-bomb Clark through the table, and they put Norman on top, so Norman retains the hardcore title.
And he's pissed about it.
Yeah.
He, like, doesn't want to take the belt back. He's like, no!
Just lay down.
Yes.
You need to try that once and have somebody do a move.
Right.
Like, that's the only... You need to do that once, and then it's explained.
Right.
But you need to do it the once.
Right.
This was a predictable finish to a nothing match.
Yep. This is a very forgettable match. To the point where, like, I wrote it down. I don't have that many notes on this. I actually forgot that the Nazis came through. I forgot they interfered.
Yeah. Yeah. They're just popping up everywhere.
Aren't they? Aren't they just?
Emily, it's not a Nazi tattoo they have. It's a Roman salute tattoo.
I'm gonna kill you.
The Cat and Miss Jones are backstage talking to Lance Storm. They actually explain Carlette's not there because visa issues.
But the Cat presents this as a gotcha.
Yeah.
As like, Carlette can't be your tag match because he doesn't have a visa. Boom, gotcha. Like
did the Cat sabotage the paperwork?
Did the Cat call immigration and be like, nah, man.
So he books a tag match for the U.S. title. It's going to be Lance Storm and a mystery partner versus Mike Awesome and General Huge Erection. And whoever gets the pin is champion.
This is so confusing.
Which, technically, I guess changes to whoever... they have to pin Lance Storm to become champion.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's going to be messy.
Yeah, it was very hard to follow while we were watching it. We'll get to it.
We then see Scott Steiner yelling at Beth. And then we get Pamela. She's with Big Vito.
No, this made me laugh, though. Steiner screaming at Beth Berg, just going, "You're just a pawn! I don't even want you!" I'm like, oh my God. Why are you screaming then?
But Pamela's with Big Vito. Vito says Russo isn't a buddy of his anymore and cuts a very, like, standard fiery babyface promo.
We literally never knew that they were buddies before 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
That doesn't matter. But the fact that he, like, started this promo with the air punches, I don't know why that really made me giggle this time. He's just, like, punching the air. Like, he's, like, you know, airboxing or whatever. It just looks so silly.
He says he has two words for Nash. The Staten Island Express is going to run over your face, you jerk.
Yep, two words.
But that brings us to Big Sexy versus Big Vito.
Let's go. I do fear that Big Vito is going to carry this match.
Nash sends Vito to the corner, hits knees and back elbows. Vito then hits a big kick and a suplex and hits a diving elbow for a two count.
But then, like, Nash gets him in the corner immediately.
Yeah.
Like, we have that little glimmer of, like, oh, fuck yeah, Vito. But Kevin Nash just takes right back over and slows right back the fuck down.
Well, before he does, he also hits, like, a diving headbutt, and then Vito gets him out.
Yeah, they both get their titties out pretty quick.
Vito hits punches in the corner, Nash hits a clothesline and a sidewalk slam. Chokes him to Vito, but Vito kicks out, so Nash hits a big boot, gets the titties out, hits a jackknife, random music plays for a second.
For a second.
And then Nash wants a second powerbomb, so Booker T runs out and takes out Nash.
Why the fuck is Booker T here?
By the way, it should be said, they noted Kevin Nash won by DQ because outside interference.
Oh.
So you... It, yeah.
So, okay. Okay.
Like, I was kind of enjoying that before the random interference.
I was too.
Like, I hate to say this, but you needed to have Vito get killed for him to come out.
Yeah.
Like, for Booker to come out making sense, because...
There wasn't a reason. He didn't go too far or anything. Like, Vito was still fully conscious and willing to fight.
Yeah, like, Vito was having a fairly competitive match with Kevin Nash, and it's like, I'm going to do a second powerbomb. Whoa, that's too far.
Whoa. It kind of, like, triggered my fight or flight, though, when Kevin Nash raised up the one finger. I was like, are you, like, about to join the bloodline or something? It's like, no, it's too early, sorry.
It was kind of interesting to see Vito actually get some offense here. Like, they're actually kind of pushing him.
Yeah, I'm glad he's getting a push.
And then backstage, we see that Vito's refusing a doctor's help. He's just too tough.
He's too tough. Big guy.
That brings us to our main event match for the evening. It is Lance Storm and a mystery partner versus Mike Awesome and Hugh G. Rection. Storm comes out with the mic once the Canadian anthem played, and the anthem is interrupted by Jeff Jarrett.
Chosen one.
And they're like, oh, wow, he can become the champion if he pins Lance Storm. How can you pin your partner and both of you be legal in the match?
The rules don't matter, Nick. Like, calm down.
And then, I don't know what happened here, but the faces just run out to no music. This is weird.
They just bolt down. And they get announced as MIA, which very much confuses me because it is Hugh G. Rection, like you said, and Mike Awesome. But I wrote down MIA because I'm like, okay, so this is like a tag match, I guess. I don't know why Jeff Jarrett's on Lance Storm's tag team, but whatever. Very confusing for a second.
Yeah, especially because the Cat booked this.
Yeah.
So why are you giving Jarrett a title shot? Don't you hate Jarrett?
It didn't make any sense why this was Jeff Jarrett.
Rection works Storm over in the corner, hits a press slam, but gets distracted by Jarrett. Storm hits a drop kick, but then Jarrett breaks up the pin. Jarrett posts in the corner while Rection rolls up Storm and he almost loses.
Stop calling him Rection. Call him Hugh.
Rection clotheslines Jarrett to the floor and then misses a diving elbow.
Fuck you.
Awesome gets the tag as like Storm is getting Hugh G. Rection in the Maple Leaf.
He's getting Hugh G. Rections?
Oh, God. That'd be bad in the Steiner recliner.
Oh, no.
Awesome then hits a pop-up powerbomb and brawls with Jarrett on the floor, which distracts the ref, because Rection then hits, I forgot it's not called No Laughing Matter anymore, because somebody calls it No Laughing Matter, and they go, no, that's the Raging Climax.
Yes.
Which, again, is taken from the tagline for WrestleMania 15.
Oh, my God.
So he hits a Raging Climax on Storm, but the ref is distracted, but he's not the legal man anyway.
Right.
Because Awesome tagged in.
Who cares, Nick? Relax rules here, man.
Elix Skipper then hits a diving leg drop to Rection, taking him out, which he can do because the ref's distracted. Jeff Jarrett then swings his guitar at Lance Storm, who ducks, and then he hits Awesome. Storm pins Awesome while Rection tries to pull Jarrett out of the ring. This was messy. This would have made so much more sense if you just made it a tornado tag and didn't require... Because then, that also raises that, like, oh yeah, you could pin your partner.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's never a spot where it makes sense for him to even try to pin him because it's not how a tag match works.
Right. Yeah, no, I agree. It was very, very stupid.
Or just make it a fatal four-way.
That too, yeah.
Again, you guys are the one writing these shows. You're pigeonholing yourself.
Yeah, and earlier in the show, we really did point the finger at Vince Russo, you're a writer. You're the writer, right? You wrote the show. So who fucked this up? Vince.
Yeah, but he's fucking a lot of shit up.
Yeah, well.
That might have been our main event match, but we're not done yet because Tony Schiavone throws to backstage to Scott Steiner, who's about to make his entrance. And I'm like, you could have just waited 10 seconds. Like, really, there's no reason to cut to him back there for...
Oh, God, yeah. No.
So he drags Beth out to the ring, and he gets to the ring, and we just see Dave Penzer just hand him a mic. I'm like, do something!
Sir, interfere! You're a bystander!
Steiner says very few things can make him happy. I'm like, oh.
And that's his freaks. Yeah. Only his freaks make him happy. I'm like, that's a sad life. I'm glad you have people that make you happy, but what about your brother? What about your, like, family?
I forget who it is. It's somebody of minor note. I did not realize Medeja's married.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, like during this?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Anyway, Steiner says he's going to cross a line and calls Beth an ugly bitch.
She's actually quite cute.
Yeah.
She's like girl next door cute.
He tells Goldberg to come out. Goldberg, like, walks out to the ring?
Yeah, his girlfriend is, like, being actively being kidnapped. And he's just like, I'm going to saunter.
Well, he does this so Jeff Jarrett can sneak up behind him and hit him with a chair twice.
Twice. Takes him two to get him down.
Steiner and Jarrett stomp Goldberg until Booker T comes out.
Of course he does.
Kevin Nash then comes out, takes out Booker.
Why? But
Goldberg powers up until Rick Steiner comes out and hits Booker and Goldberg with a pipe. The heels then handcuff Booker and Goldberg's hands to the ropes in the corner. And Scott puts Beth in the Steiner recliner.
The lightest Steiner recliner.
As Tony Schiavone accurately points out, where is security?
Great question. There is an innocent woman being attacked.
They also tried to, like, justify why it was fine for Goldberg to attack Medeja. It's like, we've seen her do top rope moves. She could take it.
They were being like, she's a performer with the WCW. We've seen her in the ring doing action. She can, like, go off the top rope and do moves. This poor woman, Beth, has never been inside the ring. She's not a performer. Valid. I'll take that. But that does not explain why it's okay for her to have been powerbombed through a table. That doesn't make it okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just because, like, she's more capable of recovering from that doesn't make it okay that it happened.
And it wasn't like she was actively interfering. Like,
no.
She, for all we know, she was minding her own damn business.
She probably was.
And then.
Medeja's great.
Yeah. So during this Steiner recliner, though, it shouldn't have made me laugh, but it did. Goldberg tries to, like, charge at Scott Steiner, but because he's handcuffed, he just, like, takes a bump instead.
Yeah.
He just falls flat on his ass.
Oh.
Beth passes out, so Steiner beats down Goldberg in the corner, and we go off the air as the beatdown continues.
Classic.
Man, it's a bad time to be a woman in WCW.
Sure is. That is correct.
Yeah, this is just kind of a downer. And
I mean, yeah. I mean, it's not a good time to be a woman in wrestling in this era. Like, the women just keep getting kidnapped or powerbombed or, you know, disrespected, put on your knees and bark like a dog. Like, that's not a good time to be a woman.
To be fair, that hasn't happened yet.
That doesn't make it better.
I'm just saying, it hasn't happened yet.
It just means the time is longer than it is now. It just keeps going. It doesn't get better anytime soon.
Yeah, it's like February, I want to say.
It doesn't get better.
But that's it for this Nitro. Thoughts on the show as a whole?
Not as bad. Again, it's very similar to last week where it's like, this wasn't the worst.
Emily, you gave last week the whole show as worst bit.
Did I?
Yeah.
Were we watching that and we're like, this isn't that bad?
Yeah, and then we talked about it.
And it was okay. Damn. Okay, shit. Better than last week then.
Yeah.
I enjoyed this more than last week. Wow, fuck.
Yeah, just everything on this show just feels like it doesn't quite stick the landing, but it doesn't feel like it falls flat on its face.
No, correct. Yeah,
I think that's the best way to describe
it. Stumbles. Yeah, I mean, there was some stuff in here that was, like, fine.
A face full of stuff?
A face full of stuff. It was fine. There was nothing that was, like, outright egregious, which is, you know, different.
Yeah, but unfortunately, because nothing sticks to landing, it really is going to be difficult for our next segment of best bit, worst bit, and MVP. Emily, what the hell did you come up with for best bit? Actually, never mind, I know.
You know exactly what it is. Don't even say what the hell did you come up with. It's ICP on commentary. I was obsessed with them. I think they did a fantastic job. Anytime we can get Mark Madden and Scott Hudson and Tony off of commentary, it's a good day for me.
Yeah, I think I'll join you in that.
Hell yeah.
I think everything else is just a little tainted.
Yeah.
Emily, what'd you pick for worst bit?
I guess just, like, the kidnapping again as a whole. Like, we're bringing another kidnapping
angle in. It's so in right now, though.
Yeah, kidnapping is so on trend. Yeah, kidnapping of Beth. That would just that felt unnecessary. What'd you choose?
Nothing really super stands out for me. I mean, Tank Abbott versus Vampiro as the actual match is tempting. Mm-hmm. But I think I'm just going to give Worst Bit to a concept, which is just the state of the rules.
Sure.
Just, it kills psychology in every fucking match.
I mean, yeah. It pissed you off. That's plenty enough. But you're right. It does affect the psychology.
Yeah. Part of the reason then the tank match is so bad is that it just ends. And, like, that's fine. So, like, what are the rules right now?
There are no rules. The rules are so chill, man. The rules are so lax. Why do you need them written down? You need to calm down.
And Emily, who is your MVP?
ICP.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Come on.
They made me laugh. They made me happy. I think they did a really good job at, like, changing the tone of the show and, like, making names for themselves, making Vampiro seem a little bit more important. I think they alone can revitalize this dark carnival bullshit that's going on.
I thought we were going to be simpatico here because I'm going with Big Vito.
Ugh. I feel like I've been giving it to Big Vito.
He's doing great.
He's doing fantastic. I love Big Vito. Big Vito will always be the MVP in my heart. He is, like, always there, but I need to pick somebody else sometimes, you know? And it'll never be Scott Steiner.
But that's going to do it for this episode of the Butts in the Seats podcast. Next up is just the next Nitro.
The next Nitro. We're still plugging away at TNA over on the Patreon. If you want to follow us on Patreon, it's just patreon.com/buttsintheseats. $5 a month gets you about 30 or so bonus episodes at this point. We just keep chucking them out. And we've got some other stuff coming up as we wind down on the TNA storyline.
Yep, my birthday pick will have come out 2 days before this. So
that's true, yeah.
You may already know what that is, and I don't right now.
Yeah, as of recording, we do not know.
Editor note, it ended up being King of the Ring in 1995. Woof. But if you also want to listen to our back catalog, you can do that everywhere podcasts are found, except for SoundCloud. And you can follow us on social media at Butts in the Pod on Twitter and Instagram. Butts in the Seats Podcast on Facebook and Blue Sky.
Blue Sky.
Emily, any closing thoughts before we get on out of here?
No, I think we just need to keep ruminating on how that Royal Rumble last night made us feel. We need to kind of decide how we settled on that. But this was a good little distraction to remind us that there is other stuff in the world.
Could always be
worse.
But on that note, I'm Nick.
I'm Emily.
And thanks for listening to the Butts in the Seats podcast.
Bye.